Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 29 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Fahima Adia, talking the Jerome Powell, who totally spooked the market, but I didn't think he said anything new. And then a quick touch on Northern Platinum results. Alani Mbombo, he's CEO designate for Grunrod. Results, they came out, obviously hitting it out the park. Also, future of coal. And then we're going to be talking women. Are they better investors than men? What can men learn from women, and maybe also vice versa? This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb: Joburg's school rates mess, litigation continues, Advitech doubts the city's ability to implement proposed solution, so yep, still going to court. And from Business Day, Fitch says grey listing won't hurt SA's rating, which maybe because our rating is pretty poor already. Morning markets, it's red out there. In the US, we had the S&P down 3.3% and the Nasdaq down just over 4%. In Asia, we got Sydney off 2% and Tokyo down almost 3%. Commodities, a bit of green here. Gold, $1,738. Brent, $101.86 a barrel. Platinum, $943. Palladium, $2,114. Rand, $16.98. Top 40 opening call, yo, 1,120 points to the red. That is 1.75%. That is 10 cent trades up. Fraction of a percent in Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting to Fahima Adia from Momentum Securities. Fahima, appreciate the early morning. I mentioned in the intro there, we had Jerome Powell chatting at Jackson Hole on Friday, and he was saying things such as the Fed will do whatever it takes to fight inflation, that it will likely be painful. I didn't think it was anything new, but the market absolutely hated on it.
Morning, Simon. So Powell basically reiterated what they have been saying for quite some time, that the U.S. will need to maintain tight monetary policy until the high inflation levels start to come down. So bear in mind that the target inflation level in the U.S. is around 2%. And the last inflation reading came in at about 6.8%. So it's going to take quite some time for that to start coming off. He did warn, like you said, that the further interest rate hikes, slowing growth, and a weaker job market would help bring down inflation, but would cause pain to households and business. So I think that's basically what spooked the market quite a bit. If you look at the bond market, it seems to be pricing in a 75 basis point hike at the next meeting in September. So in response to these comments, there was quite a bit of volatility across global markets on Friday. The JSE, however, wasn't hit too badly. It closed slightly lower on Friday by about 24 basis points. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, global markets were down a lot more, with most markets closing in the red.
Yep, and it looks like we're going to be doing some catch-up today if those early morning futures numbers are anything to go by. Northern results, Northern Platinum, it's a little difficult to compare perhaps to the other miners, because this is their full year for June. Most miners have got a mid-year to June. But I got to say, I mean, they had challenges. They had challenges in terms of labor and the like. They also had, and a lot of that COVID related to the period of end of last year, and some grade issues. But not a bad set of numbers, I thought, and certainly headline earnings edging higher and revenue looking okay.
So they did come in with a decrease in their full year 2022 profits due to quite a challenging environment there. So increased cost pressures, there was that regional community unrest and low growth at its voice in our mind. Mm. So the share price was down 1.4% on Friday, and it's lost about 18% since the beginning of the year. The results did seem to miss consensus estimates. If we just run through some of the numbers briefly, mm-hmm. headline earnings per share was down by 2.9% from the previous year. Revenue increased by 4.4%, but this was less than what the market was looking for. Operating profit margin in particular took quite a knock and was down from 49% in the prior year to 44%. So that was due to significant increases in costs related to inflation and also a decline of 13% in that PGM basket price, which more than offset any volume increases. They also did not declare any dividends for the year. So on the positive side, it is they have taken that stake in RB Plat for about 34%. Mm-hmm. They're hoping to use this and increasing production at its existing assets to increase PGM output by 2026. Bear in mind, though, there is still that competition ongoing with Implat to get control of RB Plat. Though recent developments have shown that Implat is quite far into the process of getting a majority stake. They recently got approval from the government. And now it seems they're just waiting for approval from the competition tribunal, and that would be the last condition that needs approval for that to go ahead.
Yeah, and no dividend is what stood out for me as well, but to the point, they probably spending the money on that RB Plat stake instead. We'll see how that plays out. Fahima, Momentum Securities appreciate the early morning. And that is our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Jerome Powell, what he said I thought was not a surprise. The market seemed to have a surprise. What's your take? Was it a surprise? Is inflation moderating? Maybe it's the painful word that scared people. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Gloni Mombo. He's CEO Grindrod Freight Services, but will be Grindrod Group CEO from 1 January, CEO designate, I suppose. Results for 6 months ending June from core operations, revenue up 31%, headline earnings up 53%, and a dividend of 17.2 cents. Gloni, appreciate the time today. First question, global supply chains, of which obviously Grindrod is an integral part of, are they improving? Or are things starting to get back to normal?
It's time we think they're getting back to normal, certain events come through. But what we are seeing is that they still remain relatively constrained. Mm-hmm. You know, the container shortages is still impacting the global supply chains. So, yes, I think we're still seeing some constraints. One hopes that at some stage the logistics supply chain globally will unwind and normalize.
I take your point around sort of other things happening. I mean, you had the floods. There was the fire at Richards Bay. I mean, there have just been the other curveballs. Although, listening to the presentation around the results and looking at the numbers themselves, neither of those were major setbacks for the group.
Absolutely. So if you localize the issues in terms of moving away from the global supply constraints and you localize it back into our business, of course, we had massive challenges. You know very well about the fire in Richards Bay, which means at this stage we don't have a conveyor belt link for our facility. We had massive floods in Durban, which impacted our container depot facilities. We managed to get back within two weeks, which was really, really good from the team. And in Matola, we had 20 days of no loading the vessel because of an incident that we had on the quayside. With all of these, the teams have come very hard to make sure that we return to normalcy, and the volumes that we've achieved are on the backdrop of those challenges. So I'm quite pleased with what the teams have achieved. And of course, the markets are in our favor, so mm-hmm. we've got some tailwinds. And I say, well, the plane only benefits from tailwinds if it's up in the air, right?
No, fair point. And strong ports, terminals, I mean, it's strong across the board, ports and terminals. How much is base effect? Because, of course, the comparable period still had some lockdown versus sort of increasing capacity and perhaps even just you seeing increasing demand from your customers.
Absolutely. So, but if you look back, I'm quite encouraged because we started seeing this trend of the volume uptick from second half of last year. Mm-hmm. So if you recall in 2020 when we had a lockdown, yes, we saw the massive depression in volume performance. But last year, in the second half of the year, we started seeing an uptick after we've implemented massive operational excellence strategies and upgrading our equipment. And with the markets coming through, we were then able to take advantage of that. So we saw an uptick in volume in the second half of the year. And then we saw we are seeing an uptick in the first half of this year. So which is a continuation from that. So I'm quite pleased with what we've accomplished so far.
Your vehicle volumes, we've seen that pick up. We've had issues with supply chains because of chip shortages. When I speak to the likes of Motors, Combined Motor Holdings, they just can't get enough to sell. Is that coming back to normal, or there's still some challenges in that space?
Yeah, as you know, we've actually exited the vehicle transportation business. So what remains, which was the road transportation business, yes. What remains at the moment is our car terminal in Maputo. Mm-hmm. So that terminal, what we're seeing is it's benefiting a lot from the increased demand of the second-hand cars into the terminal.
Okay.
And secondly, we also seeing an increase in the transshipment of those second-hand cars going out into Africa. And thirdly, if you recall last year, we had LNG project where we ended up handling the project cargo, and we mm-hmm. used this facility car terminal to actually handle some of that project cargo, and we're seeing that sort of continuing going forward, and we benefited definitely on the first half of this year on the project cargo. So that's what has driven the 30% growth in our car terminal, which is quite which is very pleasing.
You showed an image during the presentation with you and your colleagues around the various different commodities and sort of your take on it. And in particular, coal, you said it had the red dot next to it, not bullish long term. Is my understanding correct on that? Is that it's not bullish in terms of perhaps the pricing, but the demand is there? I mean, you're increasing capacity at Maputo.
So good question, Simon. What happened is when it got the boom, we've always had our coal terminal facility at 1.2 million tons capacity. Mm. But if you look at the numbers, we've always said that capacity is scalable,
yeah.
And which means that we can respond if there's market conditions improvement. And we certainly saw that, and we responded accordingly. We invested over $6 million in that facility. The payback has already been achieved because it was half a year's payback. And we now are sitting at 4.5 million tons of capacity. And we recently hitting a run rate of 300,000 tons per month. Now, coming to your question, why are we having a red dot? It's about the real fundamental of coal. And as you know, the story is around green, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We feel that based on that, as soon as there is a breakthrough in renewables as a base load for power supply, coal or none of fossil fuels for that matter will be under pressure. So it's on that basis that we're putting a view. Of course, there's a different view out in the market that says a responsible, just, or they call it a just transition from fossils to non-fossils will take longer. Mm-hmm. So we are observing. And of course, if we are wrong, that wouldn't be wrong for us, because then it means we have a longer participation in this commodity.
I take your point on that. Quick last question. The Grindrod Bank being sold to African Bank. Any update on any idea around timelines?
So the transaction is progressing very well. We are pleased with where we are. We've received some few questions, nothing insurmountable mm-hmm. from the authorities in terms of that. If you ask anyone, we're hoping, mm-hmm. we pray and hope that by the end of the year the transaction is concluded, but possibly it can go too much. But I'm very positive with the progress that I'm seeing to date.
Okay, that's fairly quick timelines. We'll leave it there. Malani
Mumba, thank you.
CEO designator of Grindrod, really appreciate the time today.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor, and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Nicole van den Minkhoff from Independent Securities. Nicole, appreciate the early morning time. A note you put out last week referring to women versus men as investors. Data shows that actually women are better at it, and it's largely because of the, I suppose, what we would expect. They're a little more risk adverse. They tend to stay invested for longer periods and don't switch out as quick as the male counterparts.
Morning, Simon. That's 100% correct, yes. So it's an extremely interesting topic, and it's exactly as you say. The research has found that women are better investors, and that's largely driven by the fact that they are more risk-averse, and that they are less confident than their male counterparts, and that they don't switch as easily. So the 2021 Fidelity Investment Research on Women and Investing found that women outperform men by about 0.4% measured over a 10-year annualized return. And that's very much due to those factors.
And 0.4%, a lot of listeners will think, that's not a lot. But of course, you take that and you compound that over a lifetime in investing, and it has a significant a cost benefit at the end of the period.
100%. You know, over an investment lifetime, we can be talking about women outperforming men by about 20%, which means they'll have 20% more capital at the end of their investment term than their male counterparts.
Okay, 20%. That just shows the power of time. The 0.4%
exactly
becomes 20. Yeah.
Compounding is your friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Other data that comes out is showing that we are starting to see more women entering the investment world. And here we're talking discretionary rather than, you know, your retirement and the like. And that is a good sign as sort of people and in particular women sort of take up the sense of that they can do it and that they can grow their wealth.
100%. So post the pandemic, before the pandemic, only about 44% of women stated that they really invested outside of their retirement savings. In 2021, that number went up to 67%. So that's a huge increase. And what we've seen, what the research also shows, is that 50% of women are more interested in investing since the start of the COVID pandemic. So we've really seen a shift, I mean, for all of the bad, but maybe that's one of the good things that have come out of the pandemic, is that there's really been a shift within the female consumer base into an investing mindset.
I take your point on that, and it is quite astounding figures. I mean, certainly we saw the meme stocks of early last year, and even earlier than that, where you know, and I'm imagining it was mostly men, the Wall Street Bets buying AMC and the like. This, if done properly, is going to have significant benefits for women, for households, for families over the rest of their investing career. The fact that they did take it up, and as you say, the pandemic, lots to not like about it, but there are some, I suppose, some silver linings.
100%. And what's great about it is that we've seen a lot of women just taking charge of their financial well-being and their financial freedom, basically. Mm. So my thoughts are always, no one is as invested in your financial freedom as what you are. So we should all be taking the reins and charge of our own lives and taking up those opportunities when they present themselves.
You make a point in the note as well that certainly men can learn a bunch from women, attention to detail, sort of think before you act rather than leap and worry about it later. The inverse as well, perhaps, is that women can perhaps be a little more confident in their actual ability. Certainly the data shows that they have the skill is there.
100%. And you know, to build that confidence is often difficult, but it's really taking that first step towards that and building that confidence. And as you say, you know, men can maybe take on the little bit more risk averse profile of women, and as you've stated, think twice before switching out of an investment, because obviously the cost of switching is also it's a costly exercise. You know, nothing is for free, and the cost of switching costs something ultimately. Where women should, we should all be more, a little bit braver and a little bit have more bravado and be more assertive in our decision making and take control of the situation.
Yeah, I like that point, and I think we can all get smarter from it. And of course, there as you say, it's going to make significant differences. Nicole van den Minkhoff, Independent Securities, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Friday we were chatting to Wayne McCary. We're talking the Sibanye-Stillwater results. Saw headline earnings halve for the 6 months ending June. Ask you what you thought of the results. More than half of you were saying as expected. And certainly I don't think the collapse in the profits was unexpected. And they still were very, very profitable. A quarter of you were saying a horror show, with the rest saying good considering. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Discovery Bank results.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.